Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, so what I wanted to talk about tonight is, as I mentioned in the email, the aspect of the sale of Yosef. When the Torah describes the actual sale, that these midyanim, these merchants came by and they pull Yosef out of the board. They sold him to the Yishmaelim be'esrim kesef. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver, which is an interesting point that the Torah would bechlal mention that. Like, who cares how much money they sold him for? What difference does it make if they sold him for what would be considered a good deal or a bad deal? It's an irrelevant piece of information how much money he was sold for, other than the fact that we really care about the fact. And he was sold. So Chazal note this. It actually starts from a pasuk in Amos, in the Navi, where the Navi describes three pishei Yisrael, three sins of Klal Yisrael. And one of them was al-mochram b'kesef tzadik, that the tzadik was sold b'kesef ba'avur na'alayim, for shoes. And the Medrash picks up in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar and says, how many tribes, how many brothers were there at the time of the sale who actually sold him? It was 10, because Binyamin is still, right at 12, Binyamin is still at home. He's a little baby. Yosef is the one who sold. The 10 of the brothers get together and sell him. Well, if they sold him for 20 pieces of silver, how much does each take home profit? They each take home 2, says the Medrash. And what did they do with the 2 pieces of silver? Riknos minavoyim liraglayim, to buy shoes for their feet.
So Reuven was with them.
Reuven. Yeah.
He pretended he was with them, and then he went back after.
So technically speaking, no. So you're right, because Reuven comes back, and he sees that he's not in the pit, and he says, "Where are they?" So that they sold him. So.
But he was there in the beginning.
He was there in the beginning.
The money, or is that your question?
Well, what's that?
He's Jewish.
Did he take the money, or did he not?
So we have Chazal saying, yeah,
they all.
They all took the money and they bought shoes. Very interesting. I mean, what is that?
One of our 10 tribes gets
clothes. Might like a lost tribe, but
no, you just go buy shoes.
And here started the pattern of Jewish men buying shoes.
Yeah. That was
the very strange. What's the idea of shoes? I mean, Chazal. So they're picking up on the fact that the Torah says it was 20 kesef, 20 units of silver. It's irrelevant. 2 for each. Well, what do you do with 2 units of silver? And where they bought the shoes? Very strange thing that they should buy shoes. This is made famous on Yom Kippur, on the Asara Harugei Malchus, when we say the ten martyrs that we described. So in the very beginning, most of us are still paying attention because it's on the very first page. When the piyut describes what took place, and the king says, when someone is sold, when one of your ancestors who sold your brother and gave him away for shoes, uva'ad no alayim nisanu. So the piyut, the machzer, when we talk about the asar rugim malchus, begin the story by referencing the sale of Yosef on behalf for a pair of shoes. So what's represented by shoes? So you want to say it at the opposite of mourning, as if they went around, as if they specifically wanted to say we're not in mourning. This is a fine idea. I want to describe from a different angle than that, in terms of the significance of the shoes. Let's talk about Yosef. We started, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, discussing the concept of Yaakov and Esav, two types of avoda, two types of avoda Hashem, two types of service in which we have. In the model of the yeshiva, you have your Rosh Yeshiva, and you have your executive director. You have the one who's going to actually be sitting there learning, teaching the Torah, giving the shiurim, and you have someone who's got to make it work. Someone has to be able to go out and understand what it means to build a building, what it means to become friendly with all the local politicians, to work out all the zoning issues, what it means to fundraise. Someone's got to know how to make that happen. Usually that's not the Rosh Yeshiva, because Rosh Yeshiva is... he's sitting and learning. The reason why he's the Rosh Hashiva, the reason why he's able to give the shiurim that he gives, is because he's holding and learning. And somebody else needs to know how to navigate the world around us to be able to make the yeshiva work, and together they're partners in creating that which needs to be done. So we discussed last week how Yaakov and Esav sort of had those two roles. Yaakov was the Ish Tam Yoshev Ohal. Yaakov was one who was going to sit learning in the yeshiva all day. And Esav was the Ish Hasadah. He was the man of the field. He was one who was going to go out. He was going to hunt. He was going to navigate. He was going to be the man of the world. And Yitzchak thought that in partnership they would both create Klal Yisrael. Esav doesn't want anything to do with it. Yaakov comes and in a sneaky way steals the bracha in essence, saying, I'm going to have this role too. And he ends up taking both. From the children that Yaakov then has are going to be these two different aspects. The six children that he has from Leah, we discussed, are the children of Torah, and Yisachar, of the Bechor, and Reuven, Levi, the Kahuna, Yehuda, of Malchus. And then Yaakov has with his wife Rachel, Yosef, and Binyamin. And Yosef is really going to embody this role of going out, of being on the forefront, the almost opposite of the Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim. How does the Torah introduce this to Yosef? What's the first thing the Torah tells us about him?
He's a nar.
He's a nar. He's a lad. And what does Rashi understand? What do you mean he's a nar?
He trimmed his beard every day.
He's playing with his hair, making himself look pretty. He wanted to be out there. That's Yosef Hatzadi. He's a 17-year-old boy, and he's into himself in that perspective from the chitzonis, from an outside, external perspective. He's a nar. But what we're going to find about Yosef is that the quality that he has and that we'll find in his descendants is that quality of the one who's out there, who's going to be out in the world. Yosef is the one who goes down to Mitzrayim. Yosef is going to be the one who Chazal say on him, Yosef HaTzadik, the same Yosef who grew up in his father's home, was the same Yosef who was in the house of Potiphar, the same Yosef who became the viceroy of all of Mitzrayim. That statement of Chazal is an important statement from the sense of he remained true to who he was, despite the fact he starts in the house of Yaakov. It's easy to be a tzaddik there. He ends up then in the house of Potiphar with all of the nisyonis and the difficulties that he has there. And then he becomes the leader of the largest, most powerful nation in the world. And Chazal says it's the same Yosef. The same Yosef who grew up in his father's house was the same Yosef dealing with the wife of Potiphar, the same Yosef who now is running the whole country. That's a quality. That's a quality of a person who's able to find himself in lots of different situations and remain true to who he is, true to his righteousness despite that. That's not a Yoshev Ohalim. That's not a person who sits and dwells in the tents of yeshiva all day learning quality. That's a quality of somebody who's out there. Yosef is the one who goes down to Mitzrayim, who paves the path for the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, and impacts them. Chazal tells that he had all the Mitzrayim give a bris milah to their children. He changes the practice of the place that he goes. He's not influenced by it, but he's the one who goes out and conquers. This is something you find in his children. Yehoshua comes from which Shevet? From Ephraim, which is part of Yosef. The one who goes out and conquers the land of Israel. The king is going to come from Yehuda. But who's the one who takes the land? Who's the one who's going to go out and conquer? That's going to be from Yehoshua, from a descendant of Ephraim, from Yosef. Chazal say there are going to be two Mashiachs who are eventually going to come. There's a Mashiach ben David, but preceding Mashiach ben David is going to be Mashiach ben Yosef. Sheikh ben Yosef is going to come first. He's the one who comes and paves the way, so to speak, for the Mashiach ben David, the permanence of Mashiach ben David, but the beginning process is going to be from Yosef. This is why when Yosef is first born, Yaakov immediately following the birth of Yosef, says to Laban, I need to go back home. It's time for me to return. Rashi says, why was it only on the birth of Yosef that it's time for him to go back home? So Rashi quotes, because from the Pasuk in Ovadia, V'hoya beis Yaakov eish, the house of Yaakov will be fire, uveis Yosef lahava, and the house of Yosef will be a flame, uveis Esav lakash, and the house of Esav is the straw. So in order to destroy the straw, you need not only the fire of Yaakov, but it has to be attached to the flame of Yosef. But who of all the tribes is the one who's affiliated with the being able to go out and attack and conquer Yosef, Esav? Specifically the tribe of Yosef. When Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim, and he's afraid of going down. Hashem comes to him in a nevuah and says, "Don't worry, don't be afraid of going down to Mitzrayim. Al tira merdo Mitzrayim. Yosef yoshis yado aleinacha. Yosef is going to be the one who put his hand, so to speak, to cover your eyes. He's the one who's going to be there to protect you, to see to everything. You will die in his hands, under his watch, at an old age. But it's Yosef who's going to be the one to protect you. You're afraid, Yaakov. You're leaving the confines of Eretz Yisrael. But don't worry, because Yosef is going to be there. Yosef represents that ability to go out, to go down, to be in the Golos, to be down there and to create and to maintain the same tzidkus, the same ability that he had inside the house of Yaakov. And Yosef is the one who can maintain that in the house of Potiphar, in the house of Paro, running the country. It's a different quality of person to be able to do that. Where do we find shoes? Where are our shoes in the Torah? We've heard a number of different references to shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Shalom Alechar. I don't even want a lace from the shoes.
Right.
Okay, where else?
The snet.
We find them by the snet when Moshe is not the burning bush. Mm-hmm. And Hashem says, you're in a place of holiness. You have to take off your shoes. That happened to one of the person, by the way, Tanakh. You have to know Tanakh. It's not in Chumash anymore. It's very Novi.
They took off his shoes?
Because he was in a place of holiness.
Yeah.
It happened to Yeshua. When Yeshua is standing outside of Yericho, about to conquer the first city in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem appears to him and says the same thing. Take off your shoes. You're standing in a place of holiness. And Shal Nalacham Ya'al Raglach. You have to take off your shoes. So shoes have to be removed in a place of holiness. There's a halacha regarding shoes also in the Torah. That's not about Avelis.
And that was
in
Beis HaMikdash. Excellent. What's the shoes in the Beis HaMikdash? Kohanim are not allowed to wear shoes in the Beis HaMikdash. You have a halacha that Kohanim are prohibited when they're in the Beis HaMikdash from wearing shoes. So shoes have to be removed in a place of holiness, like you find by the burning bush in Yehoshua. Similarly, in a place of holiness like the Beis HaMikdash, Kohanim are also not allowed to be involved in wearing shoes. Shoes have another place. Yeah?
Yom Kippur?
Yom Kippur, we also don't wear shoes. That's correct.
These are all leather shoes, right? This is specifically leather shoes to wear different types.
Yeah.
Crocs are included in this.
Right.
So
shoes were considered like leather. Leather shoes were almost synonymous in the form of, in other words, it was only until recently where we had, another reason why we wind without that, in other words, the leather was the material that made shoes valuable in terms of as a protection. We now have all the synthetic things, but
the case of Yeshua that took place in Jericho.
Right outside Jericho.
Jericho was a holy place where he could worship.
Rosh Hashem appears in there, and he's entering into Eretz Yisrael, and he says, "It could be just because Hashem was speaking to him at that time, also." So where do shoes come up in the daily in the daily tefillah shacharis? In Birchus HaShachar, it's true, it's hidden.
Right.
Excellent. Very good. Yeah, very good. We have the 15 brachas of Birchus HaShachar. So Chazal attribute almost all of them to our physical waking up in the morning, being able to stand up straight and to walk and to do things. We make all of these brachas of being able to wake up in the morning, of being able to sit up out of bed. Various aspects of our existence, of from the time that we wake up to the time we get to shul, really, the Shulchan Aruch writes, we should be making these brachas as we go along. Like as you stand up, so kef kefufim, as you, all the things that you're able to accomplish, all the different various brachas should be there. One of the brachas, sha'asali kol tzarki, that you have made for me all of my needs. And what's that a reference to, that you made for me all of my needs? Shoes.
Is that what we made out to Shabbat?
So that's a sign of mourning, which we would touch on. There are a couple different aspects of shoes. But this bracha is a fascinating bracha. We don't make a bracha of you've given me shoes, which would make sense. That's a nice thing to make a bracha. But instead, what bracha do we make for shoes?
All that I need.
All that I need. You have given me all that I need. Sha'asa li kol tzarki. Why? Because I have shoes. Why would Chazal make a bracha about shoes? And the words they use of thanking Hashem for the shoes we have be that you've given me everything.
That's the last detail. Like if you're going to prioritize, then you're going to have clothes before you buy shoes. But
okay.
If you have money to buy shoes, then
That's like a food already, so you have excess for shoes.
It's lower down, right, on the list of things to buy. Shoes aren't going to...
That's not necessarily because you...
No,
it's
not clothing. Sell your shoes, just borrow clothes, right?
That's not a true statement at all.
Sell like clothing. I don't know. Is it my shoes?
Well, the money that have
shoes. It's like really... I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's not the answer, so I'm not going to try and prove it.
And anyone else?
There's projects where they...
That's what
like,
I'm
trying to raise money for shoes for these poor countries where people don't have shoes.
No, so it's true. You find countries. I'm not disagreeing. You will find that's like a classic example of poverty, that the children don't even have shoes. They're not walking around naked, but they are walking around without shoes.
Sometimes it's just the South, you know.
Something right. It's just a
but
style.
But then there's no service.
What else? Why else should shoes be? But that doesn't describe Shasali Kol Tsark, that you have made for me all of my needs by providing me with shoes.
Shoes are like the anchor of Gashmus.
Why?
Because it separates you from the earth, the one.
Okay.
It's like protection.
So the Mefarshim writes, think about what it's like when you don't think about walking around without shoes. How do you walk when you don't have shoes on?
Carefully.
Right. Very carefully.
In my house.
Yeah. I mean, your feet are exposed. And if it's a rocky terrain, you walk carefully. Imagine trying to go to war without shoes. Like, not in today's day and age where you're driving a car or a tank or an airplane. You're literally in the days where you fought with your feet and a sword in your hand or a bow and arrow. Try to fight a war without shoes. That would be a difficult thing because you're looking down most of the time as opposed to looking out. So the Mefarshim writes, Hashem blessed man in the creation, the beginning of Bereishis, and said, Mulu es ha'aretz, fill the word v'kivshu, and conquer it. In order for man to conquer the world, one of the necessary components was actually creating shoes. Something with a hard leather sole that would allow man, instead of looking down when he walks, to look out when he walks. I don't have to be concerned. It's such a thing we take for granted because we grew up with shoes. If you didn't have shoes, you'd be much more careful in where you would tread and how you would walk. So, Sha'asali Kol Tzarki, you've provided me with all of my needs, my ability to go out and earn a living, my ability to go out and conquer the world, to expand, my ability to live and do the things that I need to do, all the things that I'm able to accomplish are because I'm not inhibited by a lack of footwear that allows me to look out, walk strong, and conquer. So we say, Shasoli Kol Tsarka, you made for me all my needs because I have shoes. Which is why, when you come to a place of holiness, what do?
Take off your shoes.
You take off your shoes. That's not the only reason. There are other reasons given. It's as if Hashem is saying, I told you to conquer the world. I told you to look out, not down. Not looking down with humility. I want you to look out, feeling, conquer. I created you. I created you in my image. This world is yours. Go out and take it. But not when you're my presence. When you're standing in a place of holiness, so now you're vulnerable. I don't want you with your head held high and your chest out as a conqueror. Because you have to remember, I'm the one who gave you the ability to do so. And in my presence, it's back to that with humility. No shoes on in my presence. Not at the burning bush, not at Yericho, not a Kohen standing in the Beis HaMikdash. You don't walk with your head held high and your chest out in the Beis HaMikdash. You walk with humility. You're in Hashem's home. There is no shoe wearing there. An Avel is also vulnerable, but it's a little bit of a different aspect why in mourning you can't wear shoes. It's also, you're not going out to conquer, you're staying in as a sign of mourning. You can't even leave your house, so there's really no need. But those are some of the aspects as far as that ties in. But shoes represent that ability to go out. So I think I'm borrowing a lot of ideas from Rosh Yeshiva Goldbach, but this idea now is not, he doesn't write this, but this is what I think comes out. Yosef was a nar. He was a nar. He literally was 17. Now what's the strength, what's the quality of Yosef? Crown of Yosef is the one who's able, the same Yosef, to be in his father's house, to be in the house of Potiphar, the same Yosef who's able to be in the leader of all Mitzrayim, the one who's going to be in Mitzrayim, whose children are going to conquer Eretz Yisrael, Mashiach ben Yosef. That's his quality. When he's 17 in his father's house, he hasn't done any of that yet. But imagine the personality. What kind of personality does Yosef have? The quality of person to be able to manage all that. But he hasn't been able to express it, because where has he been until this point in his life? He's been in Yaakov's house. You know, sometimes when you're in yeshiva, and you have like a guy in yeshiva who's like bursting with talent and energy, who you know you can look back in hindsight, going to be very successful in life. But like the classroom business with like the periods that start here, and then it's like he can't manage it. So he's like a troublemaker in school because he's not cut out for that system. But when you get him out of that system and you put him in the world that he's going to excel in, he thrives. So sometimes we'll say like, what a surprise, I can't believe he made it because he was such a troublemaker in school, right? But that's ridiculous. Why was he a troublemaker in school? He's not cut out to sit in a chair, listen to someone talk to him for 6 hours a day. Look at him when he grows up, look at what he does, look at what he goes out, look what he accomplishes, he's wheeling and dealing. That's what he's made for. So it's not a surprise, it's just that he was like cooped up in his classroom. The whole entire quality of Yosef is to be out. But so far, where has he been? He's been in. His brothers don't know what to do with him. Here's a 17-year-old kid. What the Rosh Hashiva learns what it means, playing with his hair. The person who goes out to the world, you present yourself in a certain way. They're part of the quality of being able to be the same Yosef in your father's house and Potiphar's house is there's an external. The Rosh Hashiva can do his thing inside the tent of the Beis HaMedrash, but when you go out, like different. Yosef was already, he's busy with his hair, and his brothers don't know what to do with this guy. They're sitting and learning all day, and it's as if he's like bursting. And they think mistakenly, that he's off, that he's the same pattern, just like Yishmael is kicked out, then the next generation, Yitzchak has Esav and Yaakov, and Esav is kicked out. So they think it's the same pattern, the following generation. Yosef is the one who's just not part of this program. He's not one of us. He's causing all of this trouble. He's got these wacky dreams. He's telling on us to our dad about things that we didn't really do. He's out. So I think what Chazal are saying when they say that they went and they bought shoes is that the brothers recognized that as much as they were sitting in the Beis HaMedrash, Yosef was going to be the one who can go out there and do that kind of thing. But he was just like, he didn't buy into the program. He was the Esav quality. Just like Esav had the quality of being the Ish HaSadeh to go out, but he threw away, he didn't want to be part of the program, so Yaakov had to take over. So the brothers see in Yosef a guy who's like, going to be all over the place. Except they misinterpreted all of his actions, not that he was going to be all over as the executive director of the yeshiva, they thought he was like an Esav quality. He was a threat to Klal Yisrael, and they have to get rid of him, which is what they paskin was necessary to do, and they do get rid of him. And then they realize the problem. If we get rid of Yosef, who's going to do that? Who's going to go out? He was going to be, he clearly had that quality. He was the one who was all over the place. Except that he didn't buy into the program. He's like Esav. Esav had the quality, and Yaakov had to take it over. So when we get rid of Yosef, and we're all sitting in here learning, that's nice, but now who's going to do all those things that Yosef was destined to do? What do the brothers do? They buy shoes. Because it's as if they didn't need shoes until they got rid of Yosef. Until, that doesn't mean they didn't physically wear shoes, but until they get rid of Yosef, they don't need shoes. Because what do shoes represent? Shoes represent
going out,
conquering, taking on the world with your head held high, your chest out. We're going to be a conqueror. We don't need that. We're sitting and learning, and there's a Yosef. But now they like all confused with Yosef. He doesn't fit the bill. They're not sure what to make of him. They think he's like an Esav-like quality. They pass him to get rid of him. What's the first thing they need to do? They need to fill that role. So Chazal say the first thing they do is they go out and they buy shoes. Yeah, now they didn't need it before. Now they need to have the shoes to fill the role, to take over in the same way that Yaakov took over Esav's role. They now need to fill in and take over the role that they would have thought that Yosef would have been destined to do, but Yosef doesn't want it. Yosef's out. He's a troublemaker. So when they get rid of him, they buy a pair of shoes. I think that's what Chazal mean when they describe it. That's the first thing that the brothers do, is in buying shoes to fill that role that they would have otherwise seen for Yosef. All right. That's the medrash for the evening.
Yeah, I read a good medrash never before. After they sold him,
yeah,
Esav and his family attacked Yaakov.
Really?
Yeah, bizarre. Is that an actual thing that Esav actually got killed in it? That's one opinion, obviously. Or he's wounded. Because they felt, because Yosef's whole task was to take out Esav, right?
Right.
They felt like, oh, he's gone. Now we can take out.
Ah, that would make sense. No, I understand that. Yeah, so that makes sense. I never heard that, but that would make sense.
Bizarre. Yeah, so I just read it like one way. Like, wow. But when I think about that respect, I probably makes shy. Anyways, go ahead.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.